Welcome, everyone. Episode 2 of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host is Marty Jones. Pleased to have you here. Hope that you've been enjoying the outdoors as much as I have. And I'm pleased to welcome our first two guests for today, Gigi Dennis, the Monte Vista City Manager, and Patrick Ortiz from SLV Great Outdoors. Gigi is or has been a state senator. She's been the state director for the USDA Rural Development, and she was appointed by President George W. Bush for that position. She's been the Colorado Secretary of State, appointed by Governor Bill Owens, senior manager for Tri-State Generation and Transmission, Alamosa County Administrator, and just for the last year and change, the Monte Vista City Manager. So welcome, Gigi. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Marty.
And Patrick Ortiz, well known to Alamosa residents, a graduate of Adams State in the geology program, and has been on trail crews. He's spent his entire professional life outside. Well, I mean, gets inside for doing administrative sorts of things, but
most of it,
and podcasts. Most of his time is outside, and you may have seen him as the leader of the Great Outdoors Action Team, the SLV GOATS. So, welcome, Patrick.
Thanks, Marty. Great to be here.
And the reason that these guests are here is because there's a meeting coming up in just a couple of days in Monte Vista about outdoor recreation economy. So, Gigi and Patrick, take it away, please.
You bet. Thank you, Marty. It's great to be here. And thank you, Patrick, for joining me. This is such a neat collaboration between the City of Monte Vista and SLV GO. SLV GO applied for a grant a little over a year ago, right as I was coming on as city manager. And McDaniel said, Gigi, just give me a letter of support. We'll just see what happens. And so before I even got my feet wet, we were sending off for this grant through the EPA. And you hear that federal agency and you almost want to get out your pitchfork. And yet this is something that is really, really positive for rural communities. And as I understand it, this is the second year that they have accepted applicants. They've had over 300 apply and only 25 have been selected each year. And so this is a grant under the Recreation Economy for Rural Communities. And we're pleased to be partnering, like I said, with SLV GO. And the opportunity that this brings to Monte Vista and our citizens in diversifying some of our agricultural community, as well as hoping to revitalize our downtown area, so that we've got new recreational opportunities, not only for our citizens within the community, but then those that will come into the community after the fact to enjoy those same opportunities.
Great. And when is this meeting and where is this meeting?
So we've got people flying in from Washington, D.C. for this thing, which just tickles me to death. So we'll be taking a kind of a community tour with them on Thursday morning and afternoon to acquaint them with Monte Vista and some of the assets that we have right there in the community, talk about our downtown, talk about what type of businesses we'd like to see coming in so that we still create that hometown charm and yet we create additional wealth within those businesses. And so the meeting kicks off for the community at 5 o'clock on Thursday evening and will run from about 5 to 8. Then we'll come back the following day on Friday from 9 to 5 and then Saturday wrap up from 8:30 to 10:30. The meetings are all being held out at Sky High Complex. And we're just encouraging citizens to come, whether you can spend 2 hours or all day or all evening, you know, whatever their schedule allows, because we really want to hear from our residents on what types of activities that they want to see and how do we foster that outdoor excitement in enjoying the outdoors, the mountains, the birds, the bees, the whatever.
Is pre-registration required for the citizens who wish to come?
It's not required, but it is. It would be very helpful. We are offering daycare. So right now that registration's pretty low. So if we end up with a flood of kids and I don't have enough staff, we're going to think our hair's on fire. But we'll manage that. And then just for the food and logistics, that sort of thing. So you can go onto the Monta Vista City website and register that way. And we welcome all. We need all ages. We need from 2 to 92.
Yeah, and just to give a little more context on, you know, why a workshop now in Monta Vista, and I think what we've done before in communities is really just get as many people at the table that we can from various sectors, various economic backgrounds, you know, Spanish-speaking individuals, just anybody that lives in the community to talk about what they're doing outside, what they are experiencing out on their public lands, and then really just kind of putting that information into an action plan and creating community or committees around those priorities that people say they want to see happen. We did something similar in Alamosa with Revitalize the Rio, that focused on the Rio Grande Corridor, but for Monta Vista, we don't want to try to emulate exactly what they did. We want to do something that's driven by the residents of Monta Vista, by the businesses, and also look at, you know, our surrounding public lands, BLM, you know, everything's really nearby right there, and it's very centrally located. Monta Vista is very centrally located. So it just provides a community forum to, you know, hear some things that maybe we're not aware of right now, as well as when it comes to community health, and you know, barriers to people getting outside, whether they be economic or otherwise.
And this will be the initial workshop. Undoubtedly, there will be additional sessions once some of the initial strategies have been, or initial desires have been identified, strategies, sessions, planning after that. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So this is only step one, and then we'll have to create a schedule and how we keep the community engaged. That's an important part of this as we move forward, and then look for funding opportunities if it is something that is going to take more of an infrastructure dollar build out. And like Patrick said, it's, you know, we have so many people that have already come to the table that it's pretty exciting when you look at the Forest Service, the BLM, the Wildlife Reserve down south of Monte, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, USDA Rural Development, the Small Business Administration. All of these partners are coming together to say, how can we potentially help? And from that is the building blocks that it's going to create something really special.
And you can already feel the pride. I mean, I'm a recent transplant to Monta Vista. I grew up in Alamosa, but you know, I was in the market to buy a house and I found the perfect one in Monta Vista, you know? So still getting to know the community, but having lived in the Valley most of my life, I know there's a lot of community pride already, around the agricultural heritage and just, you know, the love of the outdoors for people that have been there for generations, that, it is contagious, you know, and working on the, Ray and Colette Skeff Nature Trail, 2 years ago now, I guess is when we started it. And really just seeing how that space has been activated, how people are enjoying the views of Greeny Mountain and the Eastern San Juans there. And it's so close to town, so close to neighborhoods that, there's already a lot of momentum around, activating other open spaces around, getting more people to stop and, you know, have dinner, have lunch, and just explore downtown a little bit more, because it is a beautiful downtown. I want people to feel connected to it when they pass through.
And certainly the focus is going to be on economic development and how that outdoor recreation fits into economic development. I don't want to say the sky high is the limit, but you know, the sky high is a really good starting point for the outdoor recreation as well. All the work that's gone into the renovation and the Outcult Center, one of the premier events in the state of Colorado, is held every year in Monta Vista with the Sky High Stampede. And, you know, building on that for outdoor economy is a really good thing.
It is, Marty, and it's been kind of interesting. We're working with another organization called Downtown Colorado, Inc., and they are helping us build a business plan of what else, and I call it the Sky High Campus, can grow into.
Excellent. Anything else that you guys want to mention about this? And please give the times and locations again.
Yeah, so Thursday evening from 5 to 8 p.m. on February 23rd will be the first community meeting session. And then Friday, February 24th from 9 a.m. to 12, we'll talk about some of the opportunities and strategies and kind of dive a little deeper. And then there's kind of a planning session on that from 1:30 to 5 that afternoon on Friday, February 24th. And then Saturday, February 25th is from 8:30 to 10:30. And that's an opportunity for people that weren't able to come Thursday or Friday to come give input, kind of see what's already there and just provide any additional feedback. We're also going to have opportunity for local youth to provide feedback on what they want to see. We're going to have Kids Connection and Hannah Thill from Rio Grande Watershed Conservation Education Initiative do an activity around like building your own watershed for any children that come to attend the event with their parents. So it's just provide a good opportunity for youth to give feedback on what they want to see happen in the community.
Excellent. So if you are listening to this podcast, please take this opportunity to go to the City of Monta Vista to pre-register for this workshop Thursday evening, all day Friday, and Saturday morning. Make your voices heard. If you like to participate in outdoor activities, and you have an entrepreneurial bent or any sort of an interest in the outdoors, this is the workshop for you. So thank you very much, Gigi Dennis, the Monta Vista City Manager, and Patrick Ortiz from San Luis Valley Great Outdoors.
Thank you, Marty.
We're going to take a short break now and come back with some outdoor conditions.
Hey, this is Patrick Ortiz with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. As a feature of Revitalize the Rio and Park RX, we are excited to announce the spring and summer programming. We have developed and scheduled a weekly public group walk at your community park to occur in Alamosa, Monta Vista, and Del Norte on Tuesdays during the spring months of March and April. We will increase the frequency and have alternate times for the public walks in the months of May through September. Please ask your primary care physician or behavioral health specialist about a nature prescription for more information.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Marty Jones, joined by Don Richmond. Don, we're so happy to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
I'm thrilled to be invited, Marty. Always a pleasure to hang out with you and honored to be here, part of Alamosa Citizen and all the great things that are happening here. So,
and folks, you know, if you've listened to the podcast before, that Don's music is the introduction and the outtake, or not the outtake, the outro. The intro and the outro, we use music from Don's solo album instrument, and he's just an outstanding musician. I remember when I first came to the San Luis Valley more than 30 years ago, Don was already a professional musician at that time. He's continued to do things, and he gets a lot of his musical inspiration from the outdoors.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and people have often asked me, why do you live in Alamosa? You know, and it's like, I mean, I grew up here. You know, my father was a professor at Adams State. We moved here when I was 7 years old in 1962. And, you know, I could have very easily left to seek something somewhere. But the San Luis Valley got under my skin really early. Certainly by the time I was a teenager, I was quite enamored with this area. And as I ran around playing music and, you know, go to all these kind of hip and groovy and happening places and then come back to the valley, every time I remember coming over whatever pass I might be coming over and coming back into the valley, and I just felt this feeling of, home. I made it. I survived. I lived through the craziness out there, and I'm back. And once you get into exploring the outdoors in the San Luis Valley, I mean, I don't know how many lifetimes it would take you to explore every nook and cranny in the San Luis Valley, but I guarantee you can't do it in one.
No, you've made a valiant effort, though, to explore as many of the outdoor scenes that we have here and documented them both in photography and in your music as well. I remember one of my favorite songs from early in your career was My Cathedral is the Canyon. Uh-huh. And I thought, wow, that's better than any church.
It is, you know. And of course, back then, I mean, that was back in the 80s. There was even fewer people going up into the mountains than there is now. But even now, you can go up in a canyon in the Sangre de Cristos and be the only person up there. And you're in this place that is like, my God, this is as beautiful as any place there is and could be. Yeah, there could be a line of cars 10 miles long waiting to get into this place. And here I am, and I'm out of 7 or 8 billion people, and I'm the only one up here. I mean, that just blows my mind. You know, it still blows my mind.
I remember a song that every time you play this song and sing this song, you talk about an outdoor experience in the Sangres where you're out on a hike and you run into this marker for B.F. Vance.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you're out there. You're not just... You don't get your inspiration simply by sitting in your backyard, which has a beautiful view, by the way. But you're up in the mountains, along the river, down in the canyons, everywhere.
Well, I love to do those things, and I don't get to do them as often as I would like, just because I seem to keep myself too busy doing other things. But, you know... That's my idea of a good time, you might say, is to just, I'm particularly fond of the Sangre de Cristos. I mean, I love the San Juans too. It's just that to me, the San Juans have always been so much more heavily traveled, and there's, you know, there's more motorized travel over there and things like that, where the Sangres, you walk up one of those canyons and yeah, you're not going to, nobody's going to be driving by you, that's for sure, you know. So I've always been in love with that, but they're both gorgeous. But yeah, I'd love to do it more. Thankfully, I still can do it. I've been wanting to climb Mont Blanc one more time. I'm not sure if I'll get that done or not. I've climbed it probably five times in my life, but it's been several decades since I have. So we'll see.
You know, Don, one of the, I wonder if you could talk about any particular experiences that served as inspirations for specific songs of yours?
Well, there's a song called Wide Open that is very much inspired by, you know, by the beauty around us. And there's three verses, and I could point to you on a map where those verses popped up, you know, or what those verses refer to. One of them is down, and these were all driving, but it was east of Manasseh, going over that kind of little pass that goes over between the mesas there and then drops in toward San Luis, and driving through those bottomlands where both the Canales and the San Antonio River just so thoroughly water that area. I mean, this is so verdant, and, you know, that alluvial soil has been building up there for thousands and thousands of years, you know, and it's just such a paradise along through there. And there were all these flax flowers, and this was, you know, early summer, all these flax flowers, which are this beautiful light blue, kind of sky blue, going by the side of the road. And there were these, and a bunch of little lambs out in this pasture. And, you know, if you've lived a lot of years in the San Luis Valley, it's not so much like this anymore, because our winters aren't nearly as severe as they used to be. But I, you know, as I remember when I was younger in the 70s, say, you know, winters were pretty brutal. And you would not see green, and you would not smell that smell of earth. You know, it's like there were no smells happened at 20 below, you know, or whatever, you know, or virtually none. And so the green thing came into that song, where it's like, I was looking at that meadow, and it was like I'd never seen green before or something. I mean, I was so thirsty for green. I was just like, you know, this guy that had been wandering in the desert for 2 weeks and hadn't had a drink of water. I hadn't had a drink of green for so long. And it was just like, boom. And that just, that's where that first verse came from, was, high water in the lowlands, flax bluer than the sky, lambs playing like they don't know why they're here, in a meadow so green that it could split me wide open. And that's where that came from.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And the next one was driving down from Tres Piedras toward Taos. And I for many years have driven back and forth to Taos playing music down there. And there was this, you know, this rainstorm kind of down in the valley, down by the gorge, and there was this rainbow, you know, that was just like, and it was just, you know, just absolutely transcendent, you know, and then that's where that one was. That was, snow runs clear down the mountains to the gray cloud piled up so high. I don't know if I can remember it when I'm not playing it. Snow runs good down the mountains. I don't know. The words aren't coming to me right now.
That's not okay.
There playing it.
Yeah.
And the third verse was driving down the hill from Valley View Hot Springs, and I was with my wife Terry, and it's about this and seeing the beauty of your fellow humans, you know, particularly your loved one, you know, and being so awestruck and yet realizing that, wow, this person right here is more beautiful than anything, you know. And so that's where that song came from. And there's another one that has the soil in it, which is the song Cranes, which is on one of the Rifters albums. And because I just remember that. I remember it being struck, being outside when the, you know, on one of those first warm days, mm-hmm. when suddenly, like, I can smell the earth, you know, like that kind of wet, green, alive smell. And I hadn't smelled that for months, you know. And so that one of the beautiful things about songwriting is that it helps you pay attention, you know. I mean, you don't need to write songs about it. You don't need to do anything about it. But it does give you a reason to pay attention.
Well, and your attention is legendary here in the Valley. And I just... The song Cranes and 100 Miles. There are so many songs of yours that have an outdoor theme or something that we would see and hopefully pay attention to outdoors. And I think you brought one with you along with your guitar, did you not?
I did.
Would you be willing to play that song for us?
I would, because this, I knew we would be talking about the outdoors, and this is a more recent one that it's on this solo album that I did, which I recorded over the pandemic shutdown. I wrote
All That I Hold Dear is the name of that solo release. If you and you can get that at Howlin' Dog Records, by the way.
You can indeed. It's called When Silence Speaks. Which is, you know, so what it's all about is paying attention to that thing that speaks out there, you know. Let's see. Sing me the desert, sing me the moon, sing me the mountains, they know the tune, the song of the canyons, rivers and creeks. Majesty's message when silence speaks. The old ones say Creator sang the world into place from the silence of empty space. And when I see the sunset from the Valley View Hill, I know that she is singing still. Sing me the desert, sing me the moon, sing me the mountains, they know the tune, the song of the canyons, rivers and creeks, majesty's message when silence speaks. Help us to hear the harmony of the beauty wave, a pathway through our tangled days, like cranes that find their way south every fall. I know you put that compass in the heart of all. Sing me the desert, sing me the moon, sing me the mountains, they know the tune, the song of the canyons, rivers and creeks, majesty's message when silence speaks. Sing what is real, what we feel, where to go, what we know, what to leave, what to believe. Sing me the desert, sing me the moon, sing me the mountains, they know the tune, the song of the canyons, rivers and creeks, majesty's message when silence speaks, majesty's message when silence speaks.
Oh, thank you so much, Don. Thank you so
much. Thank you, man. My honor.
Well, we've enjoyed having you as a guest here. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention before we wrap up this segment?
Oh, the Rifters' newest album is supposed to arrive today from the it won't be out until the end of April, actually, as far as official release. But yeah, it's got some good ones too. Some good outdoor things on it.
Is there a CD release party planned in the San Luis Valley?
There is, April 28th at Society Hall.
Excellent.
Will be it.
Mark that down on your calendars, folks. Make sure you get tickets in advance because it'll be a sellout, I assure you.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
Well, Don, thank you so much for being our guest, and thank you so much for providing our intro and outro music for the Outdoor Citizen podcast. We really appreciate it.
I'm so honored to be part of what you guys are doing. So keep it going. Rock on.
We will. All right. We're going to take another short little break, and then we'll be back with outdoor conditions and outdoor news. Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Nice to hear the sounds of the sandhill cranes and the other birds that are going to be joining the cranes. I want to give a special thanks to Daniel Boyce from the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project, who has recorded all the bird sounds that we are using as transitions from one segment of the podcast to another. Thank you so much, Daniel. We appreciate it. So, outdoor conditions. February snow gave a much-needed boost to stream flows in the upper Rio Grande Basin. Also delivered a new record low for February 16th at negative 23 degrees Fahrenheit. Then the next day, negative 24 Fahrenheit. The reality of the situation is the Rio Grande continues to decline due to decades of persistent drought and groundwater pumping from irrigated agriculture. Conservation is an important component of bringing balance into the basin. We're going to get a lot more into this topic in our next episode on March 7th, when Craig Cotton, Division 3 engineer for the Colorado Division of Water Resources, joins us to discuss spring runoff and all the work happening to bring sustainability back to the upper Rio Grande Basin. It's an important topic, one we look forward to getting into with Craig. I do want to let you know that the recent snowfall and the snowfall that is predicted for this week has been a real benefit, and I want to thank everyone who did the snow dance that we asked for at the last podcast. The Rio Grande Basin is at 103% of average on February 21st. Here are some ski conditions. Wolf Creek is 100% open. They've received 26 inches of snow over the last 7 days, 98 inches at summit, 279 inches total for the season. Monarch, all trails are open. Four of the seven lifts are operational. They've received 10 inches of snow over the past 7 days with a 53-inch base and 190 inches for the season. Taos has received 15 inches of snow over the past 7 days. They're reporting a 68-inch base depth, 59 inches midway. And a little farther south at the Santa Fe Ski Basin, last week's storm brought a total of 43 inches of snow, season total up to 154 inches. If you're looking for a change of ski scenery, Santa Fe is reporting 81 inches as their base. If you're into the skinny skis, the Rio Grande Nordic Club, the various and sundry, San Juan Nordic Club, and the South Fork Nordic Club do quite a bit of grooming. Deep Creek was groomed along with Ivy Creek and Lime Creek on February 17th. Also on that day, Big Meadows was groomed and Rock Creek was groomed, and track was set for each of those. Chama Ski Trails were groomed on February 17th. This is where the Chama Chili Classic is held. Anyone could go down and ski. Conditions are kind of varied, but it's a good place to go. According to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, Last week's midweek snowstorm increased avalanche danger considerably in the North and South San Juan Mountains. The danger then trended down slowly over the latter part of the week. Tuesday night's expected snowfall will deliver abundant moisture, which will drive danger up to moderate across the South San Juans on Wednesday. For more in-depth backcountry conditions, please go to avalanche.state.co.us. All right, in terms of outdoor news, we want to let everyone know to be bear aware. Colorado Parks and Wildlife just released its annual bear interaction data for 2022. 4,282 reported sightings and conflicts last year. CPW says the leading cause of concern with interactions with bears lies at the garbage can. In 2019, CPW began tracking black bear sightings to help identify where points of conflict were occurring. Since then, CPW has recorded 18,351 sightings and conflicts with bears. One-third of those trace back to bears getting into the trash. To learn more on how to limit bear interactions, go to BeBearAware.com. Over the mountains in Huerfano County, Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials have released details on a black bear that tested positive for highly pathogenic avian influenza, or the avian flu. In October, a CPW wildlife witnessed the black bear experiencing seizures. The bear was then euthanized and kept for testing. A necropsy resulted in positive confirmation of the avian flu in the bear. A dead skunk in Weld County and a dead mountain lion in Gunnison County have also recently produced positive test results. The San Luis Valley has had 4 positive HPAI cases, all of which were found in wild birds. And a reminder that it is, if you encounter any wild birds that have died, they're on the ground, please do not touch them. Contact CPW and tell them where and what species the bird is. Another quick reminder, the Blanca Wetlands just north of Alamosa, closed for the season February 15th, will remain closed until July 15th to all activities. This closure is to protect migrating and nesting waterfowl. A little further north, the San Luis Lake State Park is also closed until July 15th. As part of its big game season structure planning process, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is seeking input from resident and non-resident big game hunters about the big game season structure topics under consideration. CPW is encouraging the public to complete a comment form on the current BGSS and the potential changes CPW is considering. The comment form can be found on CPW website and will be open through March 15th. The topics being considered for the big game season structure include alternatives regarding over-the-counter archery and rifle elk license, alternatives for rifle season date structure for deer and elk, adding rifle deer opportunities to the first regular rifle season, adding a second regular rifle buck and doe pronghorn season, early season, that is archery and muzzleloader date structures, and the current weighted point draw system for bighorn sheep, mountain goat, and moose. The next Rio Grande Forest Specialist series will focus on how timber management decisions are made in the forests of the Rio Grande. Kevin Duda, Vegetation Program Manager, will share various aspects of forest management, including tree planting, logging, and monitoring. The online program will be held Wednesday, February 22nd at 5 p.m. Visit the forest website or Facebook page for event information. On Saturday, February 25th, you're invited to join La Puente's veggie program for a taste of summer. This will be the first annual farm-to-table dinner, and it will be held at Milagros Coffee House in Alamosa from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, contact Marlena at 719-589-4567, extension 102, or you can go to lapuentehome.org/events. Tickets are $50 per person. On March 10th through 12th, the 40th annual Monte Vista Crane Festival will be held at the Sky High Complex. And one other item, Thursday, February 23rd at 4 p.m., there will be a special meeting of the Alamosa Planning Commission, which will be reviewing plans for outdoor concert venue and camping sites along Road 4S in Alamosa County. You can learn more about this by going to thealamosacitizen.com. And just remember that if you have any calendar or events that should go on the calendar for the Outdoor Citizen podcast, please send them to the Alamosa Citizen. Thank you for joining us on the second episode of the Outdoor Citizen. Join us again in March when we talk to Craig Cotton from the Colorado Division of Water Resources. Until then, enjoy the outdoors. Thank you.